Parshat Vayeshev. Parshat Vayeshev. I don't have the name, but I know that this past week has not been simple. I know Michael Feitman's grandfather passed away. I don't have his Hebrew name on me, but we're going to dedicate this year in his memory. And I know also there was a tragedy in the community of Atlanta, and this should be an Ilui Nishama for that young lady, for a girl who left this world. You know, I'm sure her family is struggling with this. I actually think this topic speaks to that issue. I remember there were two different types of experiences that I had when I became an officer. You have a lot of expectations. You know, you go through an incredibly long journey to become an officer. And now you're finally an officer. And you know, you grew up on all these movies about what it means. And you're all, God, you know, I'm going to lead my men into serious situations. And I'm going to, we're going to go on these 70-kilometer runs. And they're going to follow me. And, you know, you're very nervous about a lot of how that's going to work. And usually that aspect is what daunts you. And it turns out that's not the hard thing about being an officer. Like, if you have a serious mission, you're in combat, and you have to go into a house with a terrorist, like, of course your men are going to follow you anywhere. Like, as long as you're reasonably, you know, got your stuff together, it's the little things that get to you. And I remember one day, I made the mistake. I don't know if it was a mistake. I have friends who thought it was a mistake. I said to my men when I first got there, I said, listen, anything, large or small, whatever's on your mind. You're struggling with something, that's what I'm here for. The Israeli officer isn't there so that men can serve him. You know, if you go to the British Army, my uncle was a captain in the British Army in World War II, and he had a Batman, which basically meant an evet. He had a servant. He put his boots out at night, his shoes, and they polished his shoes. They ironed his uniform. He was just a servant. Like, he's an officer in the British Army. That's what happened, right? I didn't get any servants when I became an officer, right? And the model of the Israeli army is the Jewish model. In the Jewish model, the melech gets anointed with a drop of oil, right? Which is actually a whole halachic discussion. You know, you can imagine what the briskers do with that kind of halacha. What type of oil? How big a drop? Should it be a tefach, right? There, you know, there's halacha. So, but what's the whole idea there? Why are you putting a drop of oil on a king, on a kohen, on a navi, on the head of a Sanhedrin? Leaders. Because oil is not the light. What a great week to talk about this right before Hanukkah. Oil is not the light. Oil is the vehicle for the light. The king is supposed to remember the people aren't there to serve him. Halacha and how we treat a king notwithstanding, he's there to serve them. An officer is not meant to have men who serve him. He's to be there for his men. That's the whole goal. And that's Judaism. I happen to think that that's the educational model on which we run this yeshiva. Right? We're here to serve you, to be there for you, like, you know, so I made this mistake and I told my men, like any issue, large or small, you know, come to me. That had its moments. So I walk into one of the barracks one day and two guys were in this big argument. And it was like, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, I don't know, not long after I became an officer, maybe even the first week, I don't remember. And they're arguing about something, but they're in a heated argument. It turns out they're arguing over whose cartridge that they're holding in their hands is, right? This, you know, machzanit, a cartridge, 25 bullets, stick it in your gun, you use it to fire, right? And it wasn't even either of theirs. They were due for an inspection, and you come and you check their gear, and they're supposed to have a certain number of things, and if you're missing a machzanit, like that's a serious issue, whatever. And there was a machzanit, there was a cartridge behind one of the chimidanim, behind one of the kit bags, and they were both missing a machzanit. So each one claimed it was theirs, they found it at the same time. And I walked in and I'm like, you know, Mr. Super Officer, right? What are you arguing about? How can I help? Right? And now I find myself adjudicating the issue of who gets the cartridge. Okay? Now, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is this is a sugya bab metzia, right? It's pashut, right? Anybody know what the halacha is? Pardon? Zeomer nim tzatia, zeomer nim tzatia. What's halacha? Yachloku, this was divided. That's not going to work here. You can't cut the cartridge in half or find the, right? Trying to bet, right? Okay? Can't find the, right? So what are you going to do? So I get into a whole discussion with them, right? And as I'm thinking this, I have to say I had a pretty demotivated moment. This is why I became an officer. Two guys, combat soldiers, you know, we're a few days away from going up to Lebanon, and they're arguing about whose cartridge it is. Really? That's That's what grabs you? What's the point of that? So this is a fascinating Rashi in this week's parsha. By the way, if you're curious to know what I did in the end, ask me at the end of this year. But there's a fascinating Rashi here. Vayeshev Yaakov. Yaakov has been through this unbelievable journey. I mean, in his life, he was born struggling. In the womb. He comes out holding Esav's, right? Esav and him are so different. And his mother loves him, but his father loves Esav. He's struggling. And he wants the Bechorah, for whatever the reason, the birthright, the responsibility. He has to trick Esav or buy it from Esav, whatever's going on there. And then he has to, you know, his mother says to him, dress up as Esav, that's how you get the blessings. He doesn't really want to do it, he's uncomfortable with it, but he has to do it. And then Esav wants to kill him, and he goes, and then Laban wants to kill him, and then he wants to get married, fine, but he can't, but he tricks this sister. It just doesn't end. This poor guy. 22 years. 7 years for her, 7 years for her, seven more years. Laban is the chief trickster. Finally, Yaakov is getting out, coming back home. Must miss home, must miss Israel. Laban runs after him. He has to sneak away in the night. I mean, it just doesn't stop. He's finally getting back to Israel. He's got angels accompanying him, whatever that means. And Esav's come with 400 fighting men. It just does not end. He finally gets to the story of Esav. He loses, right? Loses his wife. His beloved Rachel dies in childbirth. Now he's a single, well, you can't call him a single dad. He's got three wives. But okay, right? He's a depressed single dad. I don't know, right? And he's got 12 kids. I mean, that's a lot of work. And then it says, Vayeshev Yaakov, right? Beretz Megurei Aviv, Beretz Kanan. He finally gets to live in Israel. So Rashi, powerful Rashi, quotes the Midrash. Most of you have probably heard of this Rashi. Ve'od nidrashvo, Vayeshev Bikesh Yaakov L'shev B'shalva. Yaakov just wants to sit in peace. It's chill time. He just hasn't stopped. You ever have a moment like that? Anybody here was a camp counselor? Right? And you go there and you're all gung-ho. You know, you want to work the kids and you're going to educate them and you're going to change their lives, whatever. And then you get into all this like nitty-gritty, you know? I miss my mother. He took my Twinkie. A Twinkie's on kosher, right? He took my Kvesnish, right? And you know, he did this and he did that. And you're like, you know, and there's 14 of them and they're 11. And you just, you know, you want to shoot yourself. Like, it's terrible. It's terrible. And finally, you finish the week. It's Thursday night. You know, Shabbos comes, and you have a little time to chill. What would you call that? You finally get a little time. Maybe you go sit in the basement. When I went to Camp Moshava, somebody was reminding me this. I'd forgotten this, but when I went to Camp Moshava as a camper, I was there for like one of the camp rivers, like 5 years. And the first time I got there, it was like, I think 1990 or 1991, something like that. And they davened, they ate, and then they had pool load for the kids, and that was it. And I was like, what do you mean that's it? Like, it's Friday night. Like, you have a base medrash. Anyway, so we started doing a tish. How could you have a Friday night without a tish? For some reason, they'd never done a tish. I heard they still do it. Anybody go to Camp Moshava? Yeah. They still do a Friday night tish? Yeah. Baruch Hashem. You should know, that's really in a right at the beginning. That's where that started. But Baruch Hashem, right? Every camp should do a tish. Every school should do a tish, right? What is the tish? Bikesh Lashem B'Shalva. Like, you want to just let your hair be in a base medrash, sing, you know. The kids aren't allowed at the tish, and that's okay. Yaakov wants to sit b'shalva. By the way, Bikesh Yaakov l'shevet b'shalva. Yaakov just wants to sit in peace. Where does Yaakov go to sit in peace? Where does he find this? Where's his sweet spot? In the base, baby. In the base medrash. Right? This is it. Yaakov is the Ishkav Yoshev Olim. He had to leave the Ohel of Torah, the Beis Medrash, years and years earlier. Right? 22 plus 14, what is that, 36, 40 years ago. He finally gets to come back. You have no idea. I walk through here multiple times during the week. And I see Rav Blauer and he's sitting and he's learning or he's teaching, whatever. And all you guys are learning. And there's something called Kinas Sofrim. Oh, I just miss that. And, you know, I managed to grab maybe an hour in the morning. Now I grab the half an hour here. I wish that I could sit all day and learn. And one day, Shem's going to bless me. He's going to say, you know what? You don't need to do all this stuff. And don't get me wrong. I love everything I do. Baruch Hashem. I love the fundraising. I love the recruiting. I love the teaching. It's all great. But he's going to say, you know what, you're 85, you're 95, I don't know, Chavez, you're 119. You can chill. You know what, I'm going to go to chill? This is the Tzidkas HaTzadik of Tzedek HaKohen. Rav Tzedek HaKohen says, I think we mentioned this in one of the shiurim, you learn a lot about a person by where they run to. B'shas Tzar, when things are tough and they need a break. And he quotes a Mishnah in Taros, I think. And it's a debate in the Mishnah there, you know, is what animals are pure and what animals are impure. Now, a fish in the sea can't be tummy. It's in the sea. It's in water. But a sea lion, assuming a kelav yam is a sea lion, but that's the term in the Mishnah, a kelav yam, which I think is a sea lion, it actually is tummy. This question is why it's tummy. It's in the water. Because when it's in danger, it runs up on the land. So if Tzedek HaKohen says, look at this Mishnah, this is deep. By the way, this is just as a sidebar. Every Mishnah, every halacha has a deeper message. You just have to learn to find it. That's why Rav Tzedek was awesome. Tzemach Tzedek and Shas. Unbelievable. But okay. Right? So says Rav Tzedek HaKohen, you learn about who a person really is and where they run to. You have a hard day, it's the end of the day. You know, you just need a break. So you go to the Rav Yah, the Marasha. Do you go to your favorite sefer in Chassidus? You know, do you finally get to crack open that Baba Kama? Notice I'm not saying Baba Basra, right? Okay? Then that's who you really are. That's who you really are. That's who you really are. Yaakov just wants to come back. Lashevet b'shava. He wants to peace. And where does the Rashi continue? Where does the Medrash continue? Right? Miyad. Kafat alav rogzo shol Yosef. The storm, the maelstrom of Yosef jumps up on him. Hashem basically says, you want to see peace in this world? Sadiqim evakshim leshev b'shalah? Tzadik wants to sit in peace in this world? That's what you're here for? To sit in peace? To chill? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo dayan letzadikim mashem etukun lehem l'olam haba. Not enough what you're going to get in Olam Haba. You want to get it in Olam Hazeh? And Rashi, ask me an obvious question. Yaakov just wants to sit in peace. Hashem says, oh yeah, watch this. Sends him yo-yo, the brothers and the Yosef and the pit and the coat and chvesish. What's the problem here? Anybody? It's been a long week, huh? Yeah?
Why is that bad?
Ah! I'm trying to bet. Ah! Why is that such a bad thing to sit for shalva? Especially the shalva of Yaakov. Can you imagine? It's 11:30 at night. It's been a long week. You know, you finish all your classes. You just want to sit in the base. You just want to enjoy some learning. You don't have, you know, you finished high school. You don't have a test or a paper. Remember those things? Deadlines. You just want to learn a piece of Torah. And Rav Blau walks in. He goes, what are you doing? He goes, oh, so great. I'm just chilling, learning some Torah. And Rav Blau says, that's what you want to do? You want to just sit in peace and learn Torah? It's a pretty strange Rashi. So what's going on here? So what do we have to do? Come on, you're in yeshiva 3 months. We have to define our terms. Which term here needs... which term here needs a little definition? Shalva. What is shalva? Not shalvata. Shalva. Pasuk. Pasuk in Mishle. By the way, brought this because somebody this week I was talking to him and he realized he didn't know what this is. Okay, this is a copy of a page from a concordancia, known as English as a concordance. Right? You know, somebody came over to me this week, he goes, how do you know where all these words are? I don't think he thought I was a genius and knows all these words. He's just curious what the methodology is. So I said, oh, you look it up in concordancia. He said, what's a concordancia? Now that's a great question. It's also a sad question because that's a very important thing to know. A concordance, yes? Oh. Yes, he does. Okay. This is the Evan Shoshan. You see? Yep, this is the Evan Shoshan. So this is the original concordance. A concordance is basically a sefer, and we bought about 5 of these. Because once you hear about this, you're going to want to use this. Okay? A concordance is a book that lists every place in Tanakh that a word appears. You want to know what the word sameach is? You can look up every place in the Torah sameach appears, and then you can start to build yourself an idea. Well, if these stories, I all find the word sameach, so maybe this is what it means. Right? Now, it's not an easy book to use, and there are different types, some that are more complex. The Oxford Concordance is a difficult one to use, but the Evan Shoshan is pretty good. One of the challenges of using concordance, you have to know what the root of the word is. It's not listed, right? You have sameach, samachti, esmach, samachnu. How do you know what to look up? You have to know the root of the word sameach is shin mem chet. So it'll be under shin. Right? If you want to look up the word vayifachet, you have to know that the root is pachad. Now, the good thing about starting to do this in the yeshiva is there's a lot of people around here who can tell you what the root of a word is. And once you start to get in the habit of doing this, it's unbelievable. And, you know, next week or tonight or whatever, if you want to learn how to use a concordance, you can come over to any Rebbe, any Madrich. I'm willing to bet a lot of shana vet guys, and they'll show you how to use it. It's pretty easy. That being said, right, so this page will tell you where the different words are, but I'll give you just one example. This is a pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei says, Tov pat chareva, better a dry morsel of bread, vishalvaba, in shalva, mibayit malei zivchei riv, from a house full of feasting with strife. Now what does shalva mean? So if we look up in the concordance, right, it groups it. Under the word shalva, there are actually a couple different meanings. So it groups the places where it appears that the concordance feels is this meaning, and the places where it's that meaning. So here are the two that speak out to me. Sheket, right, which is basically peace and quiet, okay? And the other is batuach, right, to be safe. Shava means you're safe. You know, you're protected. And the other one is shaket v'ragua, to be calm, to be in the moment, right? What was Yaakov really struggling with here, right? So let's think about what's going on in this parsha and what it means that when Yaakov wants to sit bishalva, immediately he gets invested and involved in this terrible story with the brothers, right? I think maybe what Yaakov was struggling with was all the strife. You know, Yaakov wasn't daunted by facing the army of Esav. And he wasn't daunted by figuring out how to out-trick Laban. And he wasn't challenged by how to overcome Esav in the Bechor, the Bracha. But he finally gets back to Israel. And now he's dealing with brothers who can't get along. My coat, your coat, my mother, your mother. It's just, this is why, this is the creation of the Jewish people. This is why I had 12 sons. This is the majestic vision that lies ahead. Who gets the coat? Yaakov just wants a break. You know, Yosef, what do you do when you're a parent and you want a break? What do you do? You want a break. You got little kids, right? This is a big mistake parents make, but it's human. What do? Go play. Just go play. The toys are over there. You buy the toys, they go play. You know, when I was in Florida, one of the most dangerous customs that I saw, and this stuck with me. I made it a mission in my life not to do this in our house. There were families, you know, we would go to families, wonderful people, and different families would invite you for Shabbos, and you go here, they come new, whatever. And I noticed a lot of families seem to have, and I found out this is not limited to Florida, just I happen to see this. This is a lot of communities that do this, right? They have the adults sitting at the table, and then they have a children's table. Now, if it's a higher level adults table, they invite the kids to be there when they make Kiddush. In some houses, the adults are sitting making Kiddush in the motzi, the kids are just sitting at the table. Which is unbelievable. It's like you're telling your children, no, 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 we're having a Shabbos meal. You could do what you want. Just don't turn the TV on. We don't want your Shabbos to be too meaningful for you, right? There's something off with that. Now, why do we do that? Because we want to have an adult conversation. And the kids keep interrupting, you know, or they're asking these annoying questions like, what's in the parsha this week? Or, you know, Abba, how come we have two chalot? How come last night you put this one on top and this, like all these crazy questions? And I just want to have a good discussion about who I'm not voting for, right? Which is everybody, right? Putting aside for the moment that if you think your child's question is an interruption of conversation, you have no idea what Judaism is all about. That's music. That's the symphony. That's what should be. But putting that aside, but I get that. So what does Yaakov say to Yosef? This is, by the way, one way of looking at Pshat, which is probably incorrect. So I don't want anybody to learn the wrong thing here. We're still talking about Yaakov Avinu here. I'm just trying to communicate an idea. You know what, Yosef? Go see what your brothers are doing. Oh, that was a bad move. That was really a bad move. Yaakov is struggling with the strife. But But you know what? You're not supposed to sit b'shalvah in this world. That strife is not undermining your shalvah. That strife is what you're meant to be doing here. You grow from that strife. It's not the big things. It's the little things. It's being able to see how you build healthy relationships, because you teach your children what to do when they get into an argument over whose soda can it is. You know, real parenting is not how you teach your child to overcome, I don't know, or avoid intermarriage. That's such a big issue. If you haven't figured that out, or you haven't figured out you don't know how to deal with it and get someone to help them figure it out, then that's okay. You're missing something. It's dealing with the little issues. It's teaching your kids how you apologize. It's teaching your kids how to give a hug. It's your kids seeing, you know, what happens when the kitchen's dirty. Do you get up and help? Do you take out the garbage? You know? It's making sure that when you have an argument with your wife, which happens, that they also see that you make up. It's how you talk to each other. That's shalva. Right? Yaakov is looking for a reality. Again, this is just one way of interpreting this. That isn't what reality is supposed to be. And so, it makes sense that there's still a lot of learning to do. In fact, the very fact that Yaakov wants to go back and misses sitting in his Oval of Torah, again, I'm not saying that's Yaakov's doing, and I'm not saying that's Pshat, but within the context of this idea, is part of the problem. I mean, that's part of the problem. If you have two kids who don't get along, Hashem gave you those kids, made you aware of that question, so that you could be a vehicle for helping them grow. That's why they were given to you. And the newsflash is that when you do this and you figure it out, the one who grows the most is actually you. Do you know what the greatest accomplishment? This is an opinion, and you can debate this. You know, I for example, and this is personal, I didn't have some agenda to get my kids to go into chinuch. I really honestly could care less whether my kids became rabbanim or not, whether they teach Torah or not. That's not the issue. They should want to share what they know. That's a whole other discussion. But you don't have to be in chinuch to do that. You don't have to be a Jewish educator. You're a Jewish educator by virtue of the fact that you're a Jew. If you're an officer in the Israeli army, you're a Jewish educator. If you're a doctor in a hospital, you're a Jewish educator. That's what some of us were talking about before, to be an osei for Torah. Everything is part of Torah. So that's not the big thing. You know, you have a daughter who's a doctor, you have a kid, two kids who are in high tech, and a kid who's an officer. Like, whatever those things are about those children, that's not what gives me the greatest nachas. That's just Baruch Hashem. That's a bracha Hashem gave you. You know? The fact that your kids are married, that's a bracha. And that they've married, I mean, three of them are married so far, and they're just married to wonderful, but that's awesome. But that's not the greatest nachas. You know what the greatest nachas is? You want to take a guess? What is the greatest nachas as a parent you can get?
Kids.
Remember I said this. Pardon? Oh, grandkids is big. Nope. When I think of nachas, I think of saying, now Hashem blessed me to accomplish something. Grandkids is just a gift. Like, you get, you know, the greatest thing about grandkids is, you know, is this physical movement. You ready? I'm very invested in my grandchildren. I go see them. I take them out. We do things together. It's great. But at the end of the day, I give them back. You know what I mean? They go home. And even when, you know, if she's in Toronut and we're watching them for the night and they sleep over by us, you know, in the back of your mind, they're going home. Like, I don't know, I did this already. You know, it's okay. Bye now, that's fine. That's not the greatest gift. And I love my grandchildren. I'm really, it's a blessing, yeah?
The greatest gift is probably that they get along.
Oh. Mm. Oh. You're obviously Shana Ben, right? Even for a week, right? When you see that your kids love being with each other, when you see they get along, when you see that they help each other, they're there for each other, they understand each other, that's the strife that Yaakov is struggling with here. I can't imagine how painful that must be. Now, putting aside a longer discussion, because we're going to end, but there's a lot of room in this parasha to presume that Yaakov knows something is wrong. He's not done here. Vayima'en Yaakov lehitnachem, he cannot be comforted about the loss of Yosef. He knows something's off. It's not clear whether he ever finds out the whole story, whether he wants to know, he doesn't know. He doesn't have to be a genius to realize. I mean, he tells Yosef off. And Yaakov makes certain mistakes. Again, he's still Yaakov Avinu, but the end of Yaakov's life, if he sees the brothers together, then that's Shalva. Right? Now, what do we do with that? First of all, I just want to tell you this aside. When I see a Beis Medrash full of guys, and they're learning with each other, and they enjoy learning with each other, they enjoy being together, and they enjoy, like, people don't get, they think that when you dance a little bit, it just wakes you up so you can learn. No, that's as much a part of Torah in a Beis Medrash as learning a piece of Gemara. Because if a group can't dance together, they can't sing together, and they can't enjoy each other's company, they can't go out to dinner together, then something's wrong. And to a certain degree, to be honest, you know, we fall in love with you guys. You learn Torah with a group for a year, and they become like your children. It's like unbelievable. So to see you happy, there's nothing better. Parents is only as happy as their unhappiest child. That's the best. Right? That's the best. And what about you guys? Do you feel that? Are you there for each other? You know? Does everybody get included? You go out for dinner, you make sure everybody has a place to be. Does somebody not get invited? You're going away, Hanukkah's coming. You're going to have Tiulim. You're going to have, you know, there are museums. There's so many things to watch. If somebody sends me a WhatsApp, I'll find a whole list I have of things you can do. It's amazing, right? And maybe even what not to do. But we'll talk about that next week, right? Is everybody there? Because if there's one guy sitting in the dorm one night, he doesn't have anything to do, nobody thought to include him in whatever they're doing, they're going to see a movie about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you know, whatever it is, right? So that's horrible. That's just terrible, right? And Yaakov just wants the shalva. Again, it's a perception. There's an allusion to this idea whether Yaakov actually is doing that. But I wonder if that's what this Rashi is about. So as usual, this is a much longer discussion. I'm going to leave you off with a question, which we're going to talk about in a couple weeks. Yehuda, what was the biggest mistake Yehuda made here? Yehuda goes way downhill. He is the chief protagonist, it would seem, in the selling of Yosef. Now, the brothers want to kill Yosef. And Yehuda says, what? What should we do? What profit is there in his blood? My bets are bedemo. Let's sell him. What do you call that? Yaakov, Yosef, you should be brothers. You should all love each other. The brothers, we should kill him. Yehuda comes along and says, let's compromise. That's a good thing, isn't it? To make a compromise. He saves his life. But if you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Vav says, right, takes Yehuda to task. The Medrash of Bereishit Rabbah says Yehuda loses his children because of this compromise. Right? Botsea, right? It's a daya of, it's a Gemara in Daf Vav Mebeis. You can look this up, it's a great piece of homework. Rabbi Elazar ben Yosef of Yosef Lidomer, Asur Litsoa, Kol HaBotsea, Reis HaChote. If a person offers a compromise, right? You're a chote. You know? If Avery comes to Jonah and says, you owe me $100, and Jonah says, what are you talking about? Right? And they come to me, and I'm the Bezdin. And I say, look, you say he owes you $100. You say he owes you $100. No, give him $50. It's a compromise, right? Now let's do that. Because then we're sure that justice isn't being served, because nobody says that. You have to figure out what the din is, what the halacha is. What do you do? And it quotes the story of Yehuda. Right? Kol ha-mevarech es Yehuda reizeh menayit. A person who blesses Yehuda, it's like they're blaspheming Hashem. Why? It's going to take us till Parshat Vayigash to figure this out. If you remind me when we get to that Parshat, we'll have a discussion about this. I'd like to leave you with a question. You can bring this up at your Shabbos table. I'm not going to take answers. We're going to stop here. Let me just, this is some thoughts on Parshat Vayeshev.